What do we have to sing about this Christmas? Well, I mean, the honest answer is there might be a few things, but this Christmas, a bit like last Christmas, isn't what we would want it to be, is it? There's not a huge amount to sing about, particularly if you're arranging to go and see family for Christmas and they've now just tested positive after 10 days in isolation. It's a bit of a gloomy time, isn't it? You know, last Christmas, maybe a little bit more gloomy. This Christmas is gloomy as well, with the rise of, was it, Omicron variants and the government imposing restrictions and potentially more maybe in the new year. There's not a huge amount to sing about this Christmas, is it? Not a huge amount to be joyful this Christmas. And what did Mary have to sing about that very first Christmas? And the honest answer, if you look into it, is actually not very much. I think if you'd been, if you think you've had it bad, then just think about Mary's situation. She lived in a country that was not locked down because of coronavirus, but was locked down because of a foreign occupation force. And she lived in a country where the Romans were occupying it, so they weren't free there. And Nazareth, her hometown, was a really small and insignificant place. Nazareth was so crummy that the people of the day were actually surprised that anything good could come from Nazareth. Added to all this, Mary was powerless and a voiceless individual, and we would never have known she had existed unless it was this for this story at Christmas in the Bible. She was an anonymous woman in an anonymous town, in an anonymous country. And Mary had no real reason to sing songs of joy, and she had every reason to sing songs of lament. And so it's really surprising that as we look at this passage of one of the autobiographies of Jesus' life, that despite the gloom that she suffers, she bursts into glorious song. And what on earth has Mary got to sing about? Well, as we look into that question, it may have an impact on our lives, because if we discover what Mary had to sing about, we can sing songs similar to Mary. We can sing a song of joy in Christmas 2021 in the same way as Mary was able to sing a song of joy back 2,000 years ago. So what did Mary have to sing about in the gloom? Well, we can answer that question in just one word, and the answer is salvation. And salvation. In the gloom, Mary sung about how God had saved her. And you can see that by having a look at verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And Mary was just full of joy that she bursts into song. Her inner being glorifies God. So she sings, "God is so amazing to me." And her inner being rejoiced in God, because she sings, "Knowing God and knowing what he's done for me makes me so happy that I'm bursting with joy in spite of the gloom." And the source of this joy comes from God having saved her. And that's what it says at the end of verse 47. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And over the last 12 months, we know what it feels like to experience joy because something has saved us, don't we? So surely you remember maybe this time, well, a little bit earlier last year, as a nurse in Coventry gave Mary Keenan the first ever Pfizer jab vaccine. And if you can maybe transport yourself back to then, there was a sense of joy then, obviously not realizing what was ahead, but there was a sense of joy, wasn't there? At that time, that Pfizer vaccine offered salvation from lockdown, salvation from not seeing loved ones, salvation from coronavirus. Now, of course, the vantage point of December 2021, that salvation looks a little bit short-lived. But however, at the time, if you can think back to the time, it was a source of great hope and a great joy, wasn't it? But what we experienced in December 2020 is similar to what Mary experienced 2,000 years ago. Joy at being saved from an enemy she couldn't beat on her own. That was what she was joyful about. Now, coronavirus wasn't a big thing back in Mary's day, as far as I know. So what had God saved Mary from, if it wasn't from coronavirus? Well, it was something that existed a long time before coronavirus and will exist a long time after coronavirus. It's the much more deadly virus of self-righteousness, of thinking I am good enough and looking down on other people. And I think we all know that symptoms of that self-righteousness virus, don't we? Here they are. If it was a government announcement, here they are. So, do you think that you're always right? Do you look down at your nose at other people? Do you compare yourself to someone else and come out as a superior person? If you have those symptoms, then you have the self-righteousness virus. And if you meet someone who's been infected by that self-righteous virus, then it's a really unpleasant encounter, isn't it? We know that personally, because as they look down on you, then you feel lower than them, don't you? Less valuable than them. You might even feel a little bit ashamed, a little bit unworthy. I remember going to a conference back in the day and meeting someone who lived and worked in the city of Cambridge, and he asked me where I was from, and at the time I was living in Newcastle, northeast England, and he replied, "Oh, you come from the backwater of Newcastle." And I can't tell you how angry that made me feel, because as he looked down on me from the dreaming spires of the University City in Cambridge and thought, well, I was in the backwater of Newcastle. And self-righteousness in people makes us angry, and rightly so, when we encounter it, doesn't it? And the Bible tells us that God shares that kind of reaction when he sees, you know, self-righteous people. He's angry too. And the song of Mary that Mary sings tells us that. Have a look at look at verse 51. God has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He scatters the proud. You know, God looks at the proud, self-righteous people and vows one day he will act against them by scattering them. And Mary sings it again in verse 52. God has brought down rulers from their thrones. It's not a big stretch of imagination, because we all know how infuriating it is to have leaders who look down on the people and are so proud and self-righteous that they make the rules for others, but they just don't obey them themselves. You know, that's not a hard leap for us to make in the last month or so, is it? So as Mary sings a song of joy to God that he will scatter and bring down proud, self-righteous people, we can all agree that's a good thing, isn't it? That pride is brought down. The problem is that whether we know it or not, we all are infected by that self-righteous virus. Because I think in moments of clarity, we see that self-righteousness inside of us, don't we? We realize it's ugly. You know, self-righteousness shows itself as we sit on the overground of the tube and we've got the mask on, but another person doesn't. And we would never probably say it to that person, but we look down our noses at them. We think to ourselves, well, we're better than them. We're obeying the rules. And in our hearts, we judge them a little bit, don't we, if we're really honest? You know, who has been on the overground or the underground and counted how many people aren't wearing masks when we're wearing masks and think, we're better than them? Well, that's the self-righteousness virus poking through. It's showing itself to us. It's the symptom. And believe it or not, Mary was infected by the self-righteous virus. She deserved for God to scatter her and to bring her down. And yet God opened her eyes to see her ugly self-righteousness. And the problem with self-righteous people is they're always looking down on others. And what they do is they never look up at God. However, Mary looked up to God and realized that her rightness, her goodness, or what she thought were her rightness and her goodness, wasn't good enough for God. And she did the one thing that we want all self-righteous people to do, don't we? She humbled herself. Instead of pride, she swapped pride for humility. This is what verse 48 says. For God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, i.e. her. And as God saw Mary humbling herself before him, saying, God, my goodness is not good enough for you, he responded to her in mercy, in giving good things to her that she didn't deserve. And mercifully, he replaced her self-righteousness with real righteousness. And not only did God save Mary from her self-righteousness, he showed her even greater goodness, greater favor. Because as we've seen in the readings, earlier in the Christmas story, God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to tell her that she would conceive and give birth to a son. And that son would be the Son of God. That would be Jesus. And Jesus would be the man to save people from self-righteousness and the consequences of self-righteousness. To put it this way, Jesus is to self-righteousness virus what the Pfizer vaccine is to the coronavirus. He's there to save us from it. You know, what a privilege for Mary to be the mother of the man who would save so many people from that self-righteousness virus. You know, God was very good to Mary, wasn't he? And this baby boy born to Mary would save people from that self-righteousness in two ways. First, at the end of his life, 33 years later, Jesus died on a Roman cross. And at the cross, Jesus took all the ugliness of our self-righteousness on him, and he took the blame for it. He took the consequences for it. And second, Jesus lived a life that was 100% right and 100% good, never self-righteous. He built up, if you want to say, a bank of self-righteousness. And for those people who are willing to humble themselves and trust in Jesus as their Savior, he will willingly share this bank of righteousness with them. And for people like Mary who share in Jesus' bank of righteousness, they have no need to be self-righteous and look down on others anymore. Because most of the time, the reason why we look down on others is because what we want to do is to shore up, to bolster our rickety goodness, don't we? We know that we're not as good as we should be. And so we look down on others to make us feel better. But once Jesus shares his huge bank of righteousness with us, we lose that need to make ourselves feel better. So it's no wonder that Mary, just in the gloom of her world, just breaks out into a song of joy. And because God has been incredibly kind to her. And instead of bringing her crashing down, God has, in verse 52, lifted up Mary because she has humbled herself. She has responded to God in humility. And he has given her the greatest gift of Jesus' bank of righteousness. He has freed her from having to compare herself to others to make her feel good. And the cherry on the top of the cake is that God chose her to be the mother of the person who would save her and save people from that self-righteousness virus, Jesus. You know, Mary's life was gloomy. She had loads of reasons to say, "Oh, it's really hard. This is a tough life." But she sings a song of joy in the midst of the gloom, because God had saved her. As we approach what might be a gloomy Christmas, can we join in with Mary's song of joy? Is that possible for us to sing a song of joy? What are we singing this Christmas? Maybe not externally, maybe internally. What are we singing? What kind of songs are we singing? If we're honest, then we might feel not particularly self-righteous, and I get that. However, what we think of ourselves may not be the most accurate way to measure things. Because aren't some of the most self-righteous people we know completely oblivious to it? I'm sure that guy from Cambridge wasn't aware he was being self-righteous when he called Newcastle a backwater. And yet the self-righteous virus in me showed itself when I thought, well, at least I'm not like that self-righteous guy from Cambridge with a silver spoon in his mouth. Well, we're all confident in our own goodness, aren't we? There's always someone we can look down on, whether it's upper class looking down on Newcastle, or whether it's a chippy northerner with a reverse snobbery looking down on the guy from Cambridge. Perhaps our self-righteousness and pride is seen most clearly in how we think about ourselves and God. And we think to ourselves, well, yeah, if there is a God, then yeah, he's going to let me into heaven. I'm good enough. Of course, he's going to let me into heaven when I die. And it never for a moment crosses our mind that perhaps our good isn't good enough for God. Because the problem is that self-righteous people always look down and they never look up. But if God is perfect, and he is, then our good just ain't good enough. Because compared with others, our good may appear nice and shiny, but when you compare our good to God's, then we realize that what appeared nice and shiny is a bit grubby compared to perfection. It's a bit like this. Back in July, I was moving house. I was doing some hoovering. My landlord had slightly made the mistake of installing beige carpets. And so I thought I was doing a pretty good job hoovering up the beige carpet. But then I moved a bookcase that had been placed there 8 years before. And I saw that beige carpet, what it really looked like, rather than my attempts to clean it up. Because the carpet I cleaned looked grubby compared to the carpet underneath the bookcase. I thought I was doing well until I compared to what it was really like. And that's what it's like between God and us. We think our lives are pretty good, and so we compare them to God's perfection, perfect life, and then we realize, actually, we're perhaps not good enough. But you know, the good news of Christmas, the thing that made Mary joyful and sing songs of joy, is that God will show the same mercy he showed to Mary to anyone and everyone who realizes that they too are self-righteous and humble themselves before him. And that's the promise that we see in verse 50. God's mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And the mercy that self-righteous Mary experienced isn't limited to her generation. No matter what generation we live in, God's mercy reaches to those who are humble and humble themselves in front of him. And if you're looking into the Christian faith, Christians aren't people who are good enough for God. Rather, they are people who realize that their goodness isn't enough. And they humbly ask Jesus to save them from their self-righteousness. And so if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian here this morning, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for making it out in the midst of a time in the month which is getting worse with coronavirus. But this Christmas, God wants to lovingly point out our ugly self-righteousness which offends him and offends others. And he wants you to humble yourself and call out to Jesus to save you from that self-righteousness. And then you too, in the midst of a gloomy Christmas, can say, sing a song of joy because God has saved you. And if we recognize the ugliness of our self-righteousness, then surely it's good news that God saves us from our own ugliness and begins transforming us into loving people. But if we don't humble ourselves and call out to him to save us, then one day, God says he will bring anyone who continues to be proud and self-righteous, he will bring them low. So if you wanted to find out more, Nathan will say a little bit more about that. If you want to find out more, one of the great ways on the welcome desk is this little booklet called A Christmas Cracker. And if you wouldn't say, you wouldn't come to the church normally, or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, that would be a great way to start thinking about the Christmas story. Alternatively, you might be a Christian here this morning, and the good news is, as Mary joyfully sings her song in the gloom that first Christmas, we can raise our voices and join in with Mary, not because we're good, but because we've realized we're not good enough and we've cried out to God for mercy, because we've recognized the ugliness of our self-righteousness and we've humbled ourselves and we've called on Jesus to save us. And if you're someone who's done that, verse 50 is true of you. Verse 50, God's mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. His mercy extends to us. Today, in the 21st century, he saved us from our self-righteousness. And as he promises in verse 52, one day he will lift us up. And as he promises in verse 53, one day he will fill us with good things. And that's worth rejoicing about, because sometimes our hope and our joy, we try and root it in the here and now. And actually, there's a there and then coming when God will give us all good things if we humble ourselves and trust in Jesus. I know this Christmas can be turning out to be a gloomy Christmas. However, amidst the gloom, we can still rejoice in God, our Savior. So before we turn to for me to pray and then for us to sing another song, that leads me to wish you a happy Christmas. And as we do that, let me turn and pray, and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy towards those who recognize their self-righteousness and humble themselves before you. Father, thank you that you always respond in mercy to those who call out to be saved through Jesus. Please would we be able to join in with Mary and sing her song. Please would that give us joy during a Christmas that is a little bit gloomy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.